My subject this morning is a subject that we have not had talked about here in about 10 years. And it's a subject that I believe we do need to talk about every now and then. And I'm going to ask a question. I'm not going to give you my topic yet because I'm going to give something away if I do. But if I just ask you, what is modesty? What is the first thing that comes to your mind? I want some response. What is the first thing that comes to your mind?
A humble heart.
A humble heart, okay. The way women dress. Anyone else? How you present yourself, okay? So why is it a subject we don't want to hear about? Why do we avoid talking about it? I'm not asking you to respond to that, okay? I think from your answers I got the answer. But I want you to rest this morning because, ladies, I'm not preaching at you, okay? I'm preaching to everybody. And this is a topic that I believe we avoid it because we just think it'll take care of itself and it doesn't. It has to do with dress. But it has to do with so much more than that. And it's not anymore. The thing that I have been seeing, and I think you all understand what I'm saying, is that I believe that if Paul or Peter or the writers that wrote about modesty in the Bible times would write about it today, they would say some different things, and I think they would talk to us men too. Because there are things that we need to hear as well. And they did, but I think they would address some different things than what they did there. My title is Modesty as a Lifestyle. So that should put you at ease that I'm going to try to nail all of us, okay? I'm not going after one person or group of people. I believe that it affects every part of our life. And I believe that as men, as guys, it's as important for us as it is ladies. So it covers all age groups, and it covers everyone. So if we look up the word in the Webster's Dictionary, it says the quality or state of being unassuming or moderate in the estimation of one's abilities. With typical modesty, he insisted on sharing the credit with others. The quality of being relatively moderate, limited or small in amount, rate, or level. Behavior, manner, or appearance intended to avoid impropriety or indecency. So let's go to the vines and let's look at what the word means in when it's typically used in Scripture, and it goes back into the Greek. And this is the definition they give. And this is the word that is typically used with modest or modesty. And if you look at the Scriptures, I'm going to stop right here and just say, when you do a search of that topic, you're going to come up with a whole lot of things that are interesting that have not all of them have to do with the way we dress. So that answer was correct. It does have to do with how we present ourselves. It does have to do with the way we live. So in the Greek, this is the definition that they give. Orderly, well-arranged, decent, modest. In its primary sense, as harmonious arrangement, adornment of the world, which is related in its secondary sense as the world, is used in 1 Timothy 2:9 of the apparel with which Christian women are to adorn themselves, and in 1 Timothy 3:2, where he talks of good behavior. So that's the same word. And in 1 Timothy 3:2, it is one of the qualifications for a bishop or an overseer that Paul gives. So that's the same word that is used when he talks about the women's dress. So I'm going to get on the guys here. And it literally means of good behavior. So there's two different meanings there that it can be, that it is universal. The well ordering is not of dress and demeanor only, but of the inner life, uttering indeed and expressing itself in the outward conversation. And if you go to Ecclesiastes 12:9, it addresses it there in the Old Testament. Modesty and humility are closely related, but they are not the same. The opposite of humility is pride. The opposite of modesty is presuming too much, vanity and conceit. Humility comes from the root humus, meaning earth, and has the thought, now I know why I don't like hummus, it comes from dirt, has the thought of lowliness. Modesty comes from the root modestus, meaning moderate. So while they are very closely related, they are two different words. They are two different ideas, and yet, as we go down through here, I hope we can get a picture of that, yes, they're two different ideas, they're two different words, but they cannot work independently. They are intertwined. And as we live our lives, it should be something that is something we think about. Hopefully this doesn't describe anyone here. Modesty is not a word that applies to me in any way. I hope it never will. Who knows who said that besides James? You don't know? Seriously? Anybody else? He's still alive. Arnold Schwarzenegger. Now it makes sense, right? It sounds like something he would say. Modesty is not a word that applies to me in any way. I hope it never will. And I hope that's not where we find ourselves this morning. But I'd like to ask a couple questions. Does modesty matter? And I've already kind of answered it. Is modesty the same as humility? We're going to dig into that a little deeper. And how can being modest improve my life? Now, there's three areas that we're gonna look at, and the first one is attitude, the second one is lifestyle, and the third one is dress. I would suggest that modern social media and the media have changed the discussion into something negative. I was reading a blog that was very interesting because it was a non-Christian blog, and they were doing a lot of there was a lot of analyzing and looking at the whole idea of modesty. And this one was dealing directly with dress. And what was interesting is the person that was writing the blog was not a Christian. It wasn't. It was written back in 2013, I think. So I don't know what they are today. But they were quoting a lot of things that really made sense. And the whole idea of how we present ourselves is rooted in the days of the Beach Boys. And if you ever listened to any of their music, there are some songs that are very clearly designed to change culture. Hence what we have today. And they were clearly designed to change the way men look at women. It was designed to change the way women present themselves, and it was also designed to create a subculture of rebellion. And it has worked very well. So we're not going into all of that this morning, but I'm just simply giving you that as information. So the first one is modesty in our attitude, and I'm going to be reading a lot of scripture. And just kind of laying the groundwork for this, and then I would challenge you to do some studying on your own as well. 1 Samuel 16:7, and this is when Samuel was looking for Saul. Actually, this one is when he was looking for David. The next one is when he was looking for Saul. Maybe I got them backwards here. I'm going to read them different than what I have. In Samuel 9:21, Saul answered, "Am I not a Benjamite from the least of the tribes of Israel? And is not my clan the humblest of all the clans of the tribe of Benjamin? Why then have you spoken to me in this way?" And Samuel came to Saul, and he was telling him that, "I'm looking for you. God has chosen you." And Saul did not believe that he was the man for the job. He was modest in the way that he presented himself to Samuel. And then in 1 Samuel 16, he's talking about David. He says, "Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a man of good presence, and the Lord is with him." And the phrase "prudent in speech" is what we want to see here. It deals with David's attitude, his attitude and how he lived his life. The next scripture is Romans 12, 1 and 2. "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to what? To this world. But be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Do not let the world decide how you live." Too often we do. We look at what's out there and we determine what's right by what the world does. The world should never be our gauge. The scriptures should be our gauge. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, to 20. "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body." The whole idea of attitude. What is the way I live? How I live? How I present myself? How I respond to situations? How I respond to people? I found myself this week in a situation somewhere over there where I turned around and went back and apologized to the person. I still felt the same way. I didn't agree with what had happened, and I still was not happy about it. But I had to go back and apologize because my attitude did not represent what I wanted it to represent. It did not represent who I wanted to represent. I have a responsibility. All of us have a responsibility to, number one, glorify God in all that we do, in our attitude, in the way that we present ourselves. The second one is lifestyle. We're going to go to Matthew 6. For that one, a couple of these we're going to turn to because they're a little longer. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21. Jesus talking. He says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So in our lifestyle, how do we present ourselves in the things that we have? In what we focus on? Jesus said that where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. Where is my treasure? What is my treasure? How do I view what I am supposed to be doing? Jesus said, "I want you to pay attention. I want you to focus on the stuff that's not going to rust, the stuff that's not going to rot." In other words, I want you to focus on people. I want you to focus on relationships. I want you to build treasure that you can take with you. Luke 12, verse 15, he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Matthew 6, 33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 to 8. Paul, writing to Timothy, says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that." Contentment. How content am I? Or have I bought the lie that I need one more, you name it? The billboards, all of that stuff is designed to make us discontented with life. It's all designed for one thing, and that is to sell something. In fact, that blog that I was just talking about, that I was reading, she was trying to sell something. She was trying to sell swimsuits, and I wasn't buying. So, but the whole idea is to make us discontented with what we have or what we are. And all of us are designed with a purpose. Let's turn to 1 Peter 3. Verses 1 through 7, and this is the third one, is dress. I'm going to read more than what actually addresses this, because there's a couple other things I want to look at. "Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, that they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. When they see the purity and reverence of your lives, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers." Now, in the main part of this text, Paul is addressing the women. And in the last two verses, he addresses the men. And what I found interesting is in one of the translations that I read, and I still haven't quite wrestled through this, but in one of the translations that I read, the treat them with respect, men treating your wives with respect, was in the same idea of modesty. In other words, men, your responsibility to your wife is to treat them modestly, with respect. So this principle is not just to women, it is to us men as well. The second one is 1 Timothy 2, verses 8 through 10. He says, "I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger or disputing. I also want women to dress modestly with decency and propriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or expensive clothes, but with good deeds appropriate for women who profess to worship God." Proverbs 31:30 says, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." 1 Timothy 3:2 says, "Therefore an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to preach." That phrase, sober-minded, comes from the same word that Paul uses in 1 Timothy 2 and that Peter uses in 1 Peter as well. So it's the same idea speaking to the men. Proverbs 11:22, this is going to be my translation. "Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a person who shows no discretion." I took out the word woman. The writer there put in a beautiful woman, and he was addressing something, but I changed that. "Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a person who shows no discretion." Romans 13:14 says, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." So if I look at the three parts of modesty this morning, my attitude, my lifestyle, and my dress. I'm going to be reading some quotes that I gathered here and there to kind of set some context for the practical part of this. This is from an article written by Caitlin Beatty in Christianity Today in August of 2013. Modesty is about a person, male or female, choosing to foster an inner spirit of humility and dignity, and communicating that in outward, culturally contextualized symbols of dress and behavior. Now, I explained that word to my wife this morning, and I can't even remember what it was. Contextualized. Within boundaries. I think that's right. That's kind of what I said, right? That was my interpretation. Modesty is having a sane and moderate view of oneself and one's abilities. It's being aware and recognizing your own limitations. Humility is in part not valuing yourself more than you do others. So I want to come back to the questions that I asked in the beginning. Does modesty matter? Yes, I believe it does. What does it include? It includes all of my life. It is not just the way I dress. And I will say, I'm gonna go ahead and say it, that I remember years ago having a discussion with a young man, and we were having a discussion about why we should have one set of standards for the women and one set of standards for the men. And we disagreed. I'll just say it that way. We disagreed. And what I found alarming was a couple days later, I walked into a place of business, and this young man would wear shirts that were very revealing. And I walked into a place of business, and I walked to the counter, and I heard some women discussing this young man. And specifically, his build and the clothes he was wearing. So I'm going to say very clearly, guys, this affects us. Times have changed. It affects us. The way we present ourselves is as important as the way our wives and daughters do. And if we are not going to be consistent, we cannot expect them to follow us. The third question was, how can modesty improve my life? How can being modest improve my life? And here again, this goes away from the dress. It goes into the other areas of life. But I do believe it affects it. Humble, modest people tend to get along well with others and are more likely to have close friends. Why? They are willing to admit that others have good qualities and they show confidence in them. When others successfully complete their assignments, modest and humble people will feel happy and will quickly praise and commend them. Conversely, proud people find it difficult to praise others, preferring that they themselves receive praise. They are more likely to compare themselves with others and to promote a competitive spirit. Rather than training others and giving them authority, they are likely to say, if you want something done right, that one hit me there because I've said that more than once. If you want something done right, you have to do it yourself. I got to watch how I say that. That's not a good idea. A proud person is often ambitious and jealous. Would you like to be surrounded by somebody like that? Of course not. So please do not be that person. End of quote. Men, this morning I want to give you a challenge. And I want you to take this to heart. Scott shared some things Friday night that I thought were very well said, and I thought he did an excellent job. But I want to add to it. Not that I think he should have said this, I want to add to it. You have a responsibility to teach your family what is acceptable and what is not. Your children are going to learn from somebody. They're either going to learn it from you, or they're going to learn it on the playground, or they're going to see it in some movie. And they're going to think that's okay. Dads, you need to be having these conversations with your children. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. These words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk to them of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning. Whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. Dads, it is important that we are consistent. That the things that we ask of our children, that we are consistent in. It is very important. And if you are afraid to have a conversation with your children because you're not sure you're consistent, that's not a good excuse. That's not a good reason. And I'm ahead of most of you here, so I've had these conversations with my daughters. And as a dad, some of those conversations are uncomfortable. They don't always like what you're going to say. Trust me. I've had pushback. And it's okay, because they don't learn. They don't know these things unless we talk to them about it. I remember one of the girls one time was talking to one of her friends, and they were talking about something. I don't remember exactly what it was. And the friend was like, "You mean your dad talks to you about stuff like that?" And she's like, "Yeah. What's wrong with that?" And she's like, "My dad would never talk to me about that." Make it comfortable for them. Because you may have to say, "Hey, I don't like that. I don't like the way you're dressed. I don't like the way you're acting right now." But if you don't have those conversations, they're not going to listen. Because you're going to have the conversation when there's a problem. Have those conversations when it's not. Don't be afraid of it. But don't be afraid simply because you see yourself sometimes as inconsistent, because we all will see ourselves that way sometimes. Make sure that you take care of those things that you believe may be inconsistent in your own life. Because Paul said in Romans, it's important that we are consistent with the things we say and the things we do and how we live. If we want to change the culture, we cannot change the culture by being quiet. If we want things different for our children from the way we had them, we must talk to them about it. That's the only way it will change. The last three scriptures that I have, Proverbs 21:21. Whoever pursues righteousness and kindness will find life, righteousness, and honor. 1 Corinthians 10:3. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I believe that modesty is a subject that encompasses all of our life. Or at least it should. It should be the way we present ourselves. It should be in our attitude, and it should be in our dress. Brian, do you have a song?
Faith and Praise,
54. 54 in the Faith and Praise. And stand, and we'll pray and sing, and you can be dismissed. Father, this morning we are just grateful for your word. We're grateful for the challenges that we can receive from your word. And this morning, I just pray that you would allow your spirit to speak to us. God, you know the areas we need to fix. You know the areas that we as dads need to deal with. in our own hearts. And you know the things that we need to talk about with our families. And sometimes they're big, sometimes they're scary. But help us to be dads. Help us to step up to the plate and bring the change that we want to see in our families by being brave and following the directions that you've given us, that you gave your children back in Egypt, to teach, to walk, to be consistent in all areas of our life. The subject is bigger than what we talked about this morning. God, convict us where we need to be. Help us to live our lives that present you in everything we do or say. I just ask this week that you would be with us. Would you walk with us? Would you walk before us? Teach us, Father, how to live. Teach us how to do this. As men and women, as children, as community, that we can present you to the world around us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.